pleasure to listen to the speakers, because the wealth of information and experience just shine through in everything you said. Ms. Mustafa raised the point about data availability, and this is indeed something we've noted is a shortcoming. We often make estimates of how many persons with disabilities, for example, there are in a particular crisis, but in fact, we don't exactly know. More importantly, I think she raised the important point of meaningful participation of persons with disabilities. Someone with a disability has lived with that disability possibly a long time, maybe their whole life. So who could be in a better position to explain what are the challenges they face in their everyday life? What are the shortcomings in the services that are available? Without undermining the challenges for every forcibly displaced person, I'm going to dare to say that a forcibly displaced person with a disability has endured something even more straining during that flight. So I indeed fully agree, and as Finland, we fully agree with that important notion of participation of persons with disabilities. Madam Nouri, you mentioned education and leadership as key to gender equality. Finland has recently been in the global media, as we have recently had the world's youngest prime minister, who is a young woman. And I must say, I'm very proud of this. And what we say has been one of the key to this happening today in Finland is education. Universal primary school available to every single child in the country. So again, as Finland, we could not agree with you more. Mr. John Weagarper highlighted some of the challenges that elderly people, especially with difficulties and challenges in mobility, might face. In the discussions that have been going around in relation to the recently published Interagency Standing Committee guidance on the inclusion of persons with disability in humanitarian action, we've noted that especially when we talk about accessibility and the provision of accessible services and facilities from the onset of the humanitarian response, we do not only help and make life easier for persons with disabilities, but with anyone who have either a permanent or temporary challenge with mobility that could be due to age, due to pregnancy, due to taking care of small children and having them with along all the time. So indeed, we must think about the intersectionality of some of these questions. Madam Sheikh Elden highlighted some of the strain from social isolation and how that can impact the health and emotional well-being of especially elderly people. There have been numerous, not only in Finland, but in many countries, situations where elderly and children have been provided joint communal spaces, either having a daycare together with an elderly home, and the impact has been nothing but positive, because both and all age groups can learn from each other, can support each other. I think, and as Finland, we think that we must use this experience also in context of whether it's humanitarian assistance or displacement to make it available to all persons. Mental health was mentioned also in some of the in many of the interventions. We have recently published our new humanitarian policy and underlined the importance of psychosocial support, especially in displacement settings, but in all humanitarian contexts, because indeed it is something that we must pay further attention to. I already mentioned intersectionality, and I think that also came very strongly across in Mrs. Isla's speech. She's mentioned LGBTIQ children. If we talk about children, if we talk about women, we must also think about women with disability, LGBTIQ women and children. So indeed, we should not think about HED in, as someone so nicely said, as the etc. category, but how these two all link together and how do we best support every person irrespective of their age, gender, or other characteristics. So thank you so very much. This has been an amazing session to listen to.